Hello and welcome to Nikon Report, your weekly roundup of all the latest Nikon news and all other photographic announcements that we found interesting. It's Konstantin here.
And this is Becky.
Yeah, it's a number 124. And we didn't really have a podcast until this morning. Well, we've got an email from Nikon.
Yes. So in amongst all the excitement of the week, we received an email from Nikon to say to users of the Z8 mirrorless camera, measures to correct the camera strap eyelet issue.
I'm out,
I'm
not dealing with this.
He's had enough. He's left us. For those who are not watching on YouTube, Konstantin's left the building. Can't take it anymore.
That's it.
It is
I call it quits.
It's definitely a tough one. To just clarify here, they've said, thank you for choosing Nikon for your photographic needs. Users of the Z8 mirrorless cameras have informed us that the metal camera strap eyelets may become loose or separate from the camera body. Based on our investigation into the matter, it has become clear that this issue may occur if the Z8 camera strap eyelets are subjected to strong impact or continuously bear a heavy load. We have identified a range of Z8 camera serial numbers with which the issue may occur, and we'll address the issue as follows.
So what Nikon is going to do, you check your serial number on the Nikon website. If your camera is affected, you send it to Nikon. They'll pay for all the shipping. They'll inspect your camera. Even if the warranty is expired, so if your camera is 2 months old and somehow your warranty expired, they will still honor and fix the issue that you're having. And then they will send it back to you. So they basically found affected serial numbers that they think the cameras may be affected. So they do encourage you to check it. So this issue has been known for about 2 weeks. According to Tom Hogan, about a week ago, we had 4 confirmed issues. Mm. Now, Nikon Rumors published another 2 issues last week. So far we have 6. You obviously read all this on the internet. It's now a known fact. And good luck going to the Nikon Rumors comment section because it is a fun ride. But let's not discuss this bit, but discuss what we know, because we had a chat with Nikon about this.
Yes, we did.
Asking them what's going on and what's the situation there, Becky?
So essentially what they've said is that although they know there are very, very, very few cases, we're talking still single digits worldwide. And if we go based on Nikon Rumors figures, it's 6. They are erring on the side of caution. Obviously, what they don't want is for, if it is a more common issue than they think, for someone to later on down the line put a really heavy lens on their camera, leave it hanging off the strap lugs, and then cause more irreparable damage to the camera. So they are trying to sort of tackle this head on at the outset rather than trying to deal with it later on and hope that nobody complains, which I think is very valiant of them, although it will be upsetting to some people. However, it does mean that even those who have had to send their camera off for the original service advisory a few weeks ago, you may also still have an affected camera with the strap lug issue. So you may still have to send your camera back again.
And that's an interesting point because according to many comments online, actually people were saying that Nikon was checking the affected cameras that were sent for service for the issue as well. So we have 2 bits of information here.
Don't know which one's true in that case.
The advice there is really go to the serial number checker, put your serial number in and see what happens really.
My additional piece of advice there would be if you do have any questions, if you sent your camera off already to Nikon and you want to check and it shows that your serial number is affected, Nikon have said, please contact your service center. Please do not contact your dealer because we won't be able to tell you anything. But your service center will be able to tell you whether or not they check that for you and advise you based on that.
Yeah. I mean, from my personal perspective, I don't like that.
Of course not. Nobody likes to hear that the camera that they've bought not only needs to be sent off once, but needs to be sent off twice. It is frustrating. And I think it's also frustrating for the majority of the Nikon staff who are having to sort of deal with the fallout. Whoever decided, let's just make this a broad public problem and tell the whole world about it, probably didn't think that far ahead.
That's true. And the thing about this is obviously, we're talking about single digits on the thousands or tens of thousands of cameras that we already sold. Mm. The problem with this is probably Z8 is going to be remembered by the recalls at the launch, which is, again, a single digits, but we're talking about D600. And in this case, Nikon didn't do a D600 because D600 had an issue and Nikon was quiet about this. When the issue came out a couple of weeks ago, Petapixel and Nikon rumors were already reported that Nikon acknowledged that they're looking into this issue and investigating. Mm. So they weren't quiet at all in this case.
Yeah.
And I assume once this investigation has been done, they issued a service announcement.
Yes. I think for most people, if we remember these things because obviously we deal with these cameras all the time, but we remember the D600 issue. We remember the D750 issue.
Aren't they all having an issue? Aren't the cars are being recalled all the time? I mean, I don't want to throw those things, but it's not fair to the customers who bought this and now have to send their cameras back. It's not fair. It's not fair. I wouldn't say it's okay to have all that recalled, but realistically speaking, those things happen to the cameras. Okay. They all happen to all camera brands as well. Some cameras were released and they were overheating during the video mode. And I'm not talking Nikon cameras in this case.
No.
And my point being here is the camera is fantastic. It's still the best-selling product among all manufacturers as we speak. The comment of this type of service announcements is now going to haunt Nikon Z8 for the years to come, even 5 years down the road, where Z8 Mark II is going to come out. Someone is going to write this comment under every single video that any camera YouTuber going to release or Nikon Room article is going to release about Nikon cameras. That's what's going to happen. And this is how, unfortunately, internet works.
Yes, the internet never forgets.
I think that they not only never forget, they remind you every 5 seconds
I remember when the D600 came out and that issue came up and we didn't have any official news from Nikon about it. And it felt like everyone on the internet was talking about it. It's even worse now, I think that's the thing, because more people have access to the internet. There, the forums and the sort of message boards and things like that, they are so much more populated now. So I do think that maybe Nikon are going, look, we're not going to repeat history. We're not going to be in a situation where we don't acknowledge that customers have a problem. We have an issue. We're going to have to tackle it. Nobody likes it, but this is what has to be done. And they've made that decision. So as I say, as you pointed out, nobody likes it. It's not fair. But at the same time, I'd rather it be this than them standing there saying, no, there's no problem. And there's actually a problem.
The situation we are in right now, so let's deal with it as well as we can. And I really hope that the lessons from this are going to be learned. And we saw that in the past, that Nikon were learning the lessons of previous launches, that this will improve with the future release and in terms of just general quality control.
Exactly. Shall we move on?
Yes, yes. I mean, there's a couple of rumors came out around this time. And one was that Nikon's going to make an announcement this week, but not about the products.
And so, now we have it.
And now we have it. That could be that.
I think it is.
Know. Nikon rumors thought could be acquisition or something like this. Another potential speculation is that 2nd of August Nikon ZF announcement that was postponed could be potentially because of this. But I would really, really probably wrap myself in the tinfoil before thinking it's true.
Not just putting your tinfoil hat on, but actually wrapping your whole body in tinfoil.
Yeah, strapping myself into the sofa and not moving for a week. Now, speaking of ZF rumors, so apparently ZF briefly was listed on Nikon Direct Japan and it disappeared. Don't believe that. Looks like a big Photoshop jobby. But again, everyone on the internet, including your neighbor, did report this. So we're going to briefly mention it and show you this beautiful screenshot. Now, another rumor was that Nikon ZF presentation actually happened on 2nd of August somewhere in Europe to the dealers. And I can confirm to you that this has actually happened. We were there. I even have a picture for you to show to the internet. So that all dealers from United Kingdom and European Union joined together and you can present them Nikon ZF. And we were the ones who were presenting it, basically.
Excellent. I love your Photoshop capabilities.
Exactly.
I
think I'm a professional.
You really
are. Going to release my course.
You should. You know. Anyway, brilliant. Okay, so apparently someone from DP Review reported this. They said the intro to the ZF was done on August 2nd at Pro Nikon dealers this week. They had to sign an NDA. So who were they and why are they reporting?
Yeah, don't tell anyone that I showed you this picture from this event, okay? We signed the NDA.
They said it will be shipped this year. will be available as a body in combo with lens. That's
well, logic. Yeah, normally cameras are available by themselves and as a kit with a lens.
Usually.
True.
They say that they think it's not a stack sensor, 25-ish megapixels. No Z6II sensor, though, supposedly.
But it will be new sensor.
Mm.
Okay.
They also said in this comment, the body feels extremely well in the hand and the quality impression is top notch, much better than ZF-C.
Mm, it's like a screen quality impression that Nikon has in the menu. It's been it's probably been translated by the same person.
But essentially they're saying that the body feels good in the hand, feels nice. I don't know how they would know that from a presentation unless they were shown the camera. But anyway.
Okay. So then Nikon Rumors just got this message and then he compiled the list of updated specs. We get updated specs of Nikon ZF pretty much hourly now. So what we have is August, September announcement, shipping before the end of 2023 to generate the revenue for Q4.
Okay.
Logic. Okay. Now, this is the point I want to discuss. New 25-ish megapixel sensor, not stacked, but it's not a Z6II sensor. Now, I don't really see why they won't just reuse Z6II sensor. Why does it make sense for them to get a new sensor at 24 megapixels? Does it really make sense? If we think that ZF is Gen version 2.5 camera, where we have some old bits from the old cameras, and then X-Speed 7 with autofocus improvement from the newer cameras, mm-hmm. does it make sense to get a sensor that's already produced in large quantities, put it in ZF body? What's the point of creating a completely new sensor for the camera that you're not 100% sure how many you're going to sell?
I see what you're saying there. They do say it's 25-ish. I thought that was just a new name.
I mean, like the Z6II sensor is 24.5 megapixels. So I think personally it's going to be the same. I don't agree with Nikon Rumors on that. You know, it's just going to be straight on Z6II sensor. They'll put a different letter next to the name of it. Just say it's like a new update, but that's what I think.
Fair enough. They also say improved autofocus.
Makes sense, X-Speed 7 and yada, yada, yada.
One would hope. A few different lens kit bundles, fine.
Makes sense.
Price for a body only under $2,000.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about kit bundles. Yeah, like it would make sense to release a kit bundle with something like 28 mil, like a ZFC that had 28 mil.
2.8 special edition.
Exactly. Mm. And then 40 mil as well, or even bundle with the 28 and 40. That would be
that
lovely.
That would be delicious.
It? Put a nice case as well, some sort of, I don't know, maybe a very fancy Pele or maybe some retro case.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. They can also train a 24-70 F4 kit. I mean, you know, I don't think it would be a right fit, but if you want to sell it to the public, you want to maybe throw in a zoom, you know.
It
would be cool to have a retro 24-70 version. Just for laughs, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I was thinking if they're going for the sort of small, sleek option, they might maybe bring out like a retro version of the 24 to 50 or something, because it's the same size the muffin lenses.
That's actually making even more sense. And you know what? Why not to throw in a nice leather case as well?
Yeah. Yeah. I could see the nice leather case happening. They did that for the DF. Do you remember they did that like camel brown one?
Yeah.
And then they did the black leather. They also did a leather special edition strap in both the tan leather and the and the black.
And then they put a singer's face on top of the box and charge double.
Works for Leica.
Exactly.
Why not work for Nikon? They did say one of the bundles will be with the 40 mil. Okay.
That's nice.
They say very similar to the ZFC in terms of design and layout. Well, one would assume.
Kind of makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. Small LCD screen on the top for aperture display, much like the ZFC, so we would expect that.
Mm-hmm.
A new third function on the sub-lever of the shutter speed dial besides photo video for black and white mode.
Okay, so you got color, yeah? So stills. We normally have like switch for stills and video, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I assume if you're going to have three, it's going to be like what, color, black and white, and video?
Yeah, I guess so. Because you wouldn't do video in black and white, would you?
And you can set the picture profile if you're creative enough to do that. So, you know, I think it's quite cool, actually. You know,
I mean, I love the idea. I was just thinking it through. It's one thing that quite frequently on the DF people asked for, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So do you think Nikon listened?
Maybe they did. It was like, how could I quickly get to black and white mode? And you had to set your picture controls into my menu, and then you had to assign my menu top item in my menu to function one. It was like a little bit tricky.
You could press menu, go to shooting menu, set picture controls.
Yeah.
And none of them are straightforward. So actually having a switch actually makes sense, especially if you're looking at this camera as a kind of a street photography setup or a travel camera where you can do things on the fly.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting concept and something that Nikon haven't done before.
True.
It also has a little grip or bump like the DF.
That would be cool.
And a single SD memory card slot, which I'm not so keen on.
Honestly, I think that would be totally fine. I would love to have a CF Express card slot, ideally, just because, you know, it's nice to have then, you know, if you have fast-forward focus, you might have a frame rate and yada, yada, yada. And since we're going to have video functionality, why not to have those things in there?
Yeah.
However, people upgrading from DX range, they use SD cards. People upgrading from DSLRs, they use SD cards. SD card format is pretty much kind of the most popular format. The problem is the speed. We limit it to 300 megabytes per second instead of, let's say, 1500 megabytes per second.
Yes, very true. Another thing on the memory cards, and bear with me with this one, but the ZSC was very much pushed towards like vloggers and video creators as well as still shooters. It was like an influencer camera because it was retro. And the problem with SD cards when you're shooting with a full frame camera and you're also deciding to shoot in 4K or whatever, is you're very limited by the SD card. They also get very, very hot, very, very, very hot. And I suppose it just, for me, it kind of takes a little bit away from the professionalism of the camera.
To be honest with you, I don't think ZF particularly is going to be like aimed at professionals and will be positioned as a professional camera.
Sure.
I think it's going to be definitely a darling among a lot of photographers, the camera that they gravitate towards too.
Yeah.
While using their big cameras for professional jobs.
Right.
You did mention that, you know, because for video work, if we have a 24 megapixel sensor, which means we can't shoot 8K, so SD cards are generally going to be fine, but I don't think we're going to get like a really kind of high bitrate type of video formats because the limitation is going to be actually the writing speeds into the memory cards.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're going to get some sort of NRAW. Well, NRAW is actually quite small and smaller than ProRes.
Right.
But I doubt it. I think if we look at it from the point that the video functionality is going to be basically about the same as A6II, that's going to be good enough. I don't think we will see the advantages of Nikon Z8 and Z9 that are done in the video space.
Okay. And then they do say fully articulating screen, fine.
Yeah, we talked about it on last podcast, so, you know, that's totally fine. We would come out soon or not, we don't know, because we've been to the event and we signed the NDA, so we can't really say if
with
we
our
know
black
or not.
Cloaks.
Exactly. And you don't tell anyone that we showed you this picture. Now, a part of those wild rumors, there's also another rumor that was reported.
Not Nikon rumors again, come on.
Nikon rumor strikes again. Apparently Nikon is also rumored to release a major autofocus firmware update for the Nikon Z6II and Z7II cameras alongside the new ZF. If I would have things to throw that would reach Nikon rumors, I would do that with a passion. The reason for that being is we had this exact same thing about 2 years ago. I think it was July 2 years ago. And since then, we're dealing with the whole autofocus thing on Z6II, where a lot of users who don't own Z6II and Z7II cameras think that Z6II and Z7II cameras apparently can't focus for nothing.
I will say I wish that they hadn't revived this particular headline or rumor, if you like. I think that they should have just kept it. It's fine to report on something after it's happened, but if we have a repeat of what happened a couple of years ago of them reporting it and lots of people complaining that it hadn't happened, it's going to be frustrating.
I agree. I think The Walking Dead should be finished by season 5.
Yeah.
The same with this rumor, if you see what I mean.
Yes.
Moving on.
Moving on. So on the subject of the Z6II and Z7II, Tom Hogan, our mate Tom, wrote an interesting article that we thought we would highlight because it kind of points out that maybe Z6II, Z7II users weren't that satisfied when the cameras came out. The article is called Another Way of Looking at Z Product Launches. And he says, a better way to look at things, I think, is to look at whether a product met the typically unslakable demands when it was introduced. I'm going to go backwards through the Z system for a reason. So we have the Z8 at the top, more than fully satisfied the customers at its level.
Yeah, and I agree.
Yep, I would agree.
had everything that we needed. Z30, mostly satisfied a new subset of customers. Yes, we gathered in a whole host of new vloggers.
I think they could do better. I think the whole DX system needs a vibration reduction on the sensor. I think that just needs to be. And then for camera that aimed at videographers, we need to have vibration reduction on the sensor. I mean, the good news is that the 1228 that they released has vibration reduction. So that's kind of mitigates the thing. And it's a good all-rounder lens for this type of work. But mostly, I think, yeah, I was not in that mostly part of group of people.
Okay. Then we have the Z9, absolutely satisfied its customers and continues to via firmware updates. Mm. Can agree, have never heard a bad word about it.
Mm.
ZFC fully satisfied a subset of customers, except for lenses. So good point. When the ZFC came out, we had a lot of people very pleased with that announcement. Obviously, we had the small minority who said, oh, where's the full frame version? And then we also had a few people who said, well, there's not enough DX lenses. But as a second DX body, I think it did remarkably well.
Yeah.
Then we have the Z6II and Z7II launches. And Tom says, didn't satisfy the customer. Seemed like a very small step forward after a big one.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going backwards in time here.
Yep.
So just hold that in your minds.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had the Z5, which fully satisfied the customer for an entry-level full-frame camera.
I think the most important thing about Z5 was the price.
I agree.
And it didn't take away too much from the bigger Z6. So it was almost the same. So having the camera at very good entry-level point could bring a lot of people who didn't want to shoot DX.
Yeah.
And they want a full-frame sensor. And nowadays, you can buy the camera on offer under £1,000 or $1,000 when there's a promotion.
There you go. Then we have the Z50, initially satisfied a subset of customers, but has not held that up, particularly given competitor product launches. So at the time that the Z50 was released, because that's initially what we're looking at, the first 3 months of release, I think the Z50 did, again, remarkably well. It introduced DX users to the Z system, and for most, it had things that we were hoping for / expecting when we'd come from, let's say, smaller entry-level DSLRs up to the Z50. But it's true, there are other products that now fit that bill slightly better.
To be honest with you, one of, I think, my main criticism of the camera is, I think it came out at that wrong time where people were switching from micro USB to USB-C ports.
Yeah.
And USB-C ports does allow charging in camera.
Mm-hmm.
And Z50 came out literally about maybe 3 months before this whole switch happened. And
right.
When ZFC came out, it had this capability. But for a lot of people who like a modern looks of the camera and just modern functionality, Z50 would be still very relevant if it would have the USB-C port.
Yeah, because the Z5 came out shortly after that and it had it. So
exactly.
It was a serious missing feature. Then we had the Z6 and Z7. And for both of those, Tom said, it felt like one generation behind Sony when launched. Firmware updates helped, but made the Mark II models look more lame. So I still feel like the Z7 and the Z6 hold their own really well. And I do agree with him that the 6.2 and the 7.2 are not a vast enough improvement for a lot
of people.
And
that's the reason.
Yeah.
Because the first-gen cameras are so good.
Yeah.
That Gen 2 cameras, well, they've been really good. And people who own them, they know that they're great cameras. And if you see the comments under our videos, you'll see that people who actually own Gen 2 cameras, they tell how great it is. And there's a difference between Gen 1 and Gen 2 cameras. But from the point of people who never use those, the difference between the cameras is quite small.
Yeah.
And this whole thing about autofocus firmware update, which we discussed prior to that, didn't make a lot of people happy because they thought, I'm going to wait for this thing to come out that's just been rumored on some random website, if you see what I mean. So that is a big issue. And from this point of view, it seems like Z6II and Z7II cameras are, from customer perspective, are the most underwhelming cameras.
Yes, I would say, and I look at it this way, for people who didn't dive into the mirrorless system for Gen 1, they waited for Gen 2, and rightly so, and those who have purchased Gen 2 have zero complaints. If you went from a Gen 1 to a Gen 2, then you might have a few complaints just because you're like, well, it wasn't that much different. It is slightly different. There are definitely advantages, and I personally, as a Z6 user, wish that I had a Z6II, just because there are small convenient things the 6.2 has,
yeah,
which the 6 doesn't. But I wouldn't be able to justify the expenditure of the Gen 2 camera.
I mean, I would blame marketing a little bit as well, because this second processor was sold like a new messiah that, you know, would fix all the issues, even your composition issues, you know. So
yeah, it would make you a better photographer.
Exactly. And apparently it's not all that. Apparently it's done a lot of under the hood improvements, which are not actually visible on the surface in a way. But a lot of people thought that actually the second processor is the one that actually makes the autofocus better. And to be honest with you, from the announcement point of view, it did feel this way.
Yeah, it did. You know. Yeah, it was made out to be that way. And I think, as you say, that's a marketing issue. If we look at Tom's traffic light system, we've got the red being didn't satisfy the customer. That's the Z62, Z72. We've got the yellow or amber as Z6, Z7 and Z50, as in it wasn't perfect, but it did kind of do the job. And then we've got the green traffic light system where satisfied everybody, or at least most of the customers, which was Z5, ZFC, Z9, Z30, and Z8 in chronological sequence. So bearing that traffic light system in mind, Tom says, my suspicion is that Nikon has noticed the same thing, that the 6 and 7 line is the issue. Instead of getting a 3 generation with just some X-Speed 7 changes, my guess is that they're looking to do much better than that. They don't want a repeat of the Mark II launches, where customers were less than thrilled. And my guess is that the image sensor is at the heart of the apparent delay, as the other side of the electronics looks to be state-of-the-art, given the Z8 and Z9. So the proper question to ask is this: what would make a Z6-3 and Z7-3 green in my future similar analysis? New focus capabilities for sure, but also likely 33 and 61 plus megapixel cameras respectively. Anything else? And this is an interesting point. Do read the article in full if you get a chance, but what would you want in a Z6-3, Z7-3 to kind of give you the wow factor?
To wow the customer. Mm. Well, first of all, a couple of things. First of all, hopefully Nikon is not colorblind. That's a good start. second of all, I think if we get X-Speed 7, and we get autofocus of Z8 and Z9, or very close to it. Don't give me 50% of this. Give me 90% of that performance.
Stripped down, but still there.
Exactly. That's what I need. Now, from Z6-2, we want to have either 24 megapixels, but much better in low light.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally want a slightly higher resolution sensor, as Tom says, something like 30 plus megapixels. We don't need 45, 30, 36, something within that range.
Yeah, 36 would be good for me. 33 is great too. It exists.
You know, backlit, full stack, you name it, all the features, fast frame rate, fast readout. So that means, you know, that we don't have any blackout, et cetera, et cetera. Give me fast frame rate, but I want it to be better in low light, because to this day, Z6-2 is probably the best low light mirrors camera from Nikon. We want to keep it this way with Gen 3 version of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think Z7-3 is a different kettle of fish, because we have fast Z8, which gives you 45 megapixels, so it's a high res sensor.
Mm.
You know, we want to go slow on that. We want to give even higher resolution,
but a slower camera.
But a slower camera.
Right.
Because there's no stack sensor available in 60 megapixels, but there is a 60 megapixel sensor.
Mm-hmm.
On Sony cameras, on Leica cameras, you name it. What it gives increased resolution and dynamic range for the people who will need it. So we're talking about landscape photographers, portrait photographers. What they need, well, portrait photographers may need autofocus speed. That's absolutely right. We don't need a frame rate, though. Landscape photographer doesn't need a frame rate, but they would enjoy an increased dynamic range.
Yeah, and I think that we could also, I hate to say it, but I think we could strip down the video in the Z7-3 if needed, because it doesn't need to be. The Z7 cameras have never been the videographer's choice. I don't think it needs to have all of the video spec in there, because I can feel you disagreeing with me.
I mean,
me
you
already.
Went real left field on this one.
Woo!
Hold your horses, Becky. Not that far. Okay, I think, yeah, like 8K would be nice to have, but, you know, I think if we get 4K at 60 frame FPS, it's going to be absolutely fine. Again, yeah, I absolutely agree with you, because technically Z8 is the perfect hybrid camera, you know, as well as Z9. We've got those hybrid cameras. If you need the video functionality, you will pay premium for it. It's nice. I agree that we don't need this like amazing functionality as Z8 and Z9, but I would still, ideally, I would want to have the, you know, 4K 60 frames. If we can get 8K 30 frames per second, I'll take it.
Sure, just shove it in there.
Yeah, shove it in there. I mean, the sensor would allow that, you know.
Yes, so, I'm just thinking there has to be a reason not to make that camera £4,500. Because if you're going to put a 61 megapixel or 60 megapixel plus sensor into a Z7 Mark III, it's going to start pushing Z8 price point boundaries. They were already 3,000 to start off with Z7 II.
Yeah, but Z8 does 8K 60 frames.
Yeah, it's true.
What you can do is you can, let's say, you can skip the NRAW functionality.
Yeah.
You know, you can skip maybe slightly higher codecs or something like mm-hmm. this, you know, or allow that via Atomos Ninja or some other recording devices. So you can gimp it that way.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you do like 8K 30 frames per second, which probably should be fine, it's don't make it a very high bitrate quality, if you see what I mean.
Exactly. I don't think it needs it. This is my unpopular photographic opinion.
There you go, but you missed one. So she's...
I'm chiming in.
Exactly.
And I did notice a few people in the chat that were like, my unpopular opinion is that I want a camera that has no video on it. And I'm like, obviously we do videos all the time, but if I was just buying a camera for stills for myself, not for YouTube, I wouldn't use the video for my own personal stuff.
No, but wouldn't you want to have a video on your camera just because it's there? It doesn't mean you ever record it, but it being there, wouldn't it be just nice to have?
Yeah, but let's say it's there. I don't want to be paying extra for it. Do you see what I mean? Like, if it's there because it's there, that's fine. But if it's like, oh, the reason that this camera is extra £500 yeah. is because of we've decided to throw in the Z8 video capabilities. Yeah.
Here's the answer to people like you, Becky.
Go shoot film.
Exactly. As Tom Hogan pointed out about a year ago, he said, the only reason why we get advancements in still technology is because of video.
It's true.
So without the video functionality and that huge data coming through the sensor, mm-hmm. we wouldn't get the autofocus speed, we wouldn't get the higher resolution.
Absolutely.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Don't deny it. Yeah.
So in terms of this, the video is there. If you don't want it, you don't need to use it. Unfortunately, it's just part of life. That's
yeah,
the thing. Just like recalls on Nikon Z8.
I'm definitely saying... See, I'm not saying don't put any video in it. I'm saying that video doesn't need to be its primary focus. Whereas like Z6 and Z6 II, they even made, you know, movie kits because they wanted to push these cameras towards video makers yes. as well. Z7 III doesn't need to have...
That is true. However...
That is all. No.
However.
No, however. Shh.
If you're a young creative who... dab into, let's say, fashion photography. You need a studio high-resolution sensor. And they would want a little fashion videos together with the shoot. Maybe you don't care about the super sharp video of Z6.
Then
you know,
buy
you're happy
a
with less sharp and Z7.
If you're that person,
but you don't
buy
have the money
Z8.
Because you know, you're a student.
You know, so and you got 3 grand. You got 3 grand, but you don't have 4 grand. That's what you're saying. You're a student, so you have 3,000. I'm calling it. Z7 III is going to be at least £3,299.
Yeah, but Z8 is going to be £4,000, and that makes a whole £1,000 difference for a lot of people.
No, I said 3,299. Because the Z7 II was £2,999. So the Z7 Mark III is going to have to be £300 yeah. more expensive. So it's going to be £3,299.
All right. Well, I see your point. Yeah, I still think that's...
You disagree. I haven't convinced you yet.
You know, Becky, you are wrong. You're just so wrong. I'm going to tell you why.
Keep telling me why. And then we will never end the segment because you won't stop telling me how wrong I am.
Now, well... All this fiasco of a conversation discussing what will wow us as a potential buyers of Z6 III and Z7 Mark III cameras. Please tell us what you think of the features you want to see in the new upcoming releases. What will personally wow you and convince you to buy a new Gen 3 camera? Comments below right there.
Couple more things for you. First up, Nikon NX Studio has had version 1.4.1 released and they fixed a couple of small issues. An adjustments file created in NX Studio version 1.3.2 or earlier couldn't be read, and adjustment settings saved in NX Studio version 1.3.2 or earlier were deleted. So they fixed that. Off you go. Do your updates.
Okay, and then that's basically all on the Nikon news this week. So Nikon financials are going to be out next week and next couple of days. So we're going to talk about this next week. So you can skip that one, I guess. But a Nikon-owned company, MRMC, which stands for
Mark Roberts Motion Control,
they announced a new CineBot. It's a mini one, flexible live-action camera robot.
Yeah, so this is a pretty cool little camera. Just so you know, as a photographer, you can hire Mark Roberts Motion Control equipment. You can actually just hire it for a job or whatever you want to do. A few quid an hour. It is pretty stunning. We went to their factory a while back, their warehouse, and had a little look around. It's a lot of fun. So you can record and replicate any manual movements made on set. They have unveiled the CineBot Mini, which is a compact, lightweight, live-action camera robot that gives users full manual control over camera positions, making complex motion control movements simple.
So basically what those cameras do is they can repeat one motion the same time 1,000 times, repeatedly. And this is very important when you are recording, let's say, a certain sequence in a movie and you're going to have different takes. You want to have exactly the same motion. It's been used for music videos and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They've been used for sports events and things like that, where you can't have photographers in, but those arms can be moved remotely. So there's a lot of things like this. And this is the mini robot. They have the big ones, obviously, which costs tens of thousands of pounds. So I assume this one is probably, because it's a mini, is going to be the cheapest one yet. You can pre-order it, apparently, while you talk to them, but there's no price. So I don't want to scare myself and call them and ask them what it is.
Terrifying. We all know that robot's going to take over the world. So
Mark Roberts motion control is leading the way.
All right, next up for some third-party news for you. Per Gear have announced a 60mm f2.8 Mark II full-frame ultra macro lens for Nikon Z mount, priced at $199.
Cheap and 2x magnification. You know, I do like a good 60, you know? I do like a good 60 for, you know, like I don't do the flowers things,
really?
And insects and stuff. You know, I only have a course that's a paid one and you're welcome to purchase it. At some point on the 1st of April, we'll probably release that course at some point. But a cheap macro lens for people who don't shoot macro very often is actually a good thing.
For the occasional macro shooter, we've got this one. Apart from its 2x magnification, it weighs about 600 grams. The close focusing distance is 19.1 centimeters. And it is full frame, just to confirm. So there you go.
That's pretty good. Now, to Week in Reading and Voice section, we have a great article for you. So apparently, it's a look inside Nikon's gorgeously designed flagship stores in China by Petapixels. Apparently, the malls, the shopping malls, are dying everywhere in the world but China. And apparently, Nikon is seizing that opportunity and building those luxury stores inside the malls in China. So here's an article from Petapixel on that. Do have a look and tell us, because I haven't read it.
Tell us what you think. We also had a review out this weekend on the Nikon Z70-180 f2.8. It is a fairly new release, came out literally in the last week and a half or so. So we headed straight out with it to do our review.
And if that's not enough, we had a live stream last week, a solo one, because Becky had better things to do. But we talked about your unpopular, aka controversial opinions on photography. So do have a look at that. If you got some of those, you're welcome to put those down as well. And that was 2023 edition. We will do another one once a year.
2024, whenever I'm away, basically.
Exactly. And that's a wrap. Thanks for joining us this week.
Yes, thank you very much for watching and or listening. It's been a fun one. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you're on YouTube. If you're listening on a podcast platform, we'd love a rating or a review or all of the above. Share it with your friends and family.
Absolutely. If you don't know where to find us, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify's over the world, and all other great podcast platforms. You know what else you can do? You can mention us on all those Facebook Nikon groups or Reddit Nikon groups. Tell that there is a podcast that discusses news every week in a fun way. Hopefully.
Sometimes. Sometimes we have fun.
Sometimes we laugh. Sometimes we cry. You know what else we do? We go on social media.
We do. And if you'd like to see our pictures and our occasional life ramblings, then you can find us on Instagram. I'm at Rebecca_Danese. The shop is at Nikon at Gray's.
And I'm at Konstantin Kochkin. We will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.